speak to the business,
Master Secretary. Why are we met in council?
Please, your honors, the chief cause concerns his grace of Canterbury.
Has he had knowledge of it?
Yes.
Who waits there?
With that, my noble lords?
Yes.
My lord Archbishop, and he has done half an hour to know your pleasures.
Let him come in.
Your grace may enter now.
My good lord Archbishop, I am very sorry to sit here at this present, and behold that chair stand empty. But we all are men, in our own natures frail and capable of our flesh. Few are angels. Out of which frailty and want of wisdom, you that best should teach us have misdemeaned yourself, and not a little. Toward the king first, and then his laws, in filling the whole realm by your teaching, and your chaplains, for so we're informed, with new opinions, diverse and dangerous, which are heresies, and not reformed, may prove pernicious.
Which reformation must be sudden too, my noble lords. For those that tame wild horses, fix them not in the hands to make them gentle, but stop their mouths with stubborn bits and spur them till they obey the manage. If we suffer out of our easiness and childish pity to one man's honor this contagious sickness, farewell, old physic. And what follows then? Commotions, uproars, with a general taint of the whole state. As of late days, our neighbors, the Upper Germany, can dearly witness, yet freshly pitied in our memories. My good lords, hitherto in all the progress both of my life and office, I have labored, and with no little study, that my teaching and the strong course of my authority might go one way, and safely. And the end was ever to do well. Nor is there living. I speak it with a single heart, my lords. Man that more detests, more stirs against both in his private conscience and his place, defaces of a public peace than I do. Pray heaven the king may never find a heart with less allegiance in it. Men that make envy and crooked malice nourishment dare bite the best. I do beseech your lordships that in this case of justice my accusers be what they will, they stand forth face to face and freely urge against me.
Nay, my lord, that cannot be. You are a counselor, and by that virtue no man dare accuse you.
My lord, because we have business of more moment, we will be short with you. 'Tis his highness pleasure and our consent. For better trial of you, from hence you be committed to the Tower, where being but a private man again, you shall know many dare accuse you boldly, more than I fear you are provided for.
Ah, my good lord of Winchester, I thank you. You're always my good friend. If your will pass, I shall both find your lordship judge and jury. You are so merciful. I see your end. It is my undoing. Love and meekness, lord, become a churchman better than ambition. Win straying souls with modesty again. Cast none away. That I should clear myself, lay all the weight ye can upon my patience, I make as little doubt as you do conscience in doing daily wrongs. I could say more, but reverence to your calling makes me modest.
My lord, you are a sectary. That's the plain truth. Your painted gloss discovers to men that understand you words of weakness.
My lord of Winchester, you are a little, by your good favor, too sharp. Men so noble, however faulty, yet should find respect for what they have been. 'Tis a cruelty to load a falling man.
Good Master Secretary, I cry your honor mercy. You may worst of all this table say so.
Why, my lord?
Do not I know you for a favorer of this new sect? Ye are not sound.
Not sound?
Not sound, I say.
Would you were half so honest. Men's prayers then would seek you, not their fears.
I shall remember this bold language.
Do. Remember your bold life, too.
This is too much.
Forbear, for shame, my lords.
I have done.
And I.
Then thus for you, my lord. It stands agreed, I take it, by all voices, that forthwith you be conveyed to the tower, a prisoner, there to remain until the king's further pleasure be known unto us. Are you all agreed, lords?
We are.
Is there no other way of mercy that I must needs to the tower, my lords?
What other would you expect? You are strangely troublesome. Let some of the guard be ready there.
For me? Must I go like a traitor thither?
Receive him, and see him safe in the tower.
Stay. But, my lords, I have a little yet to say. Look there, my lords. By virtue of that ring, I take my cause out of the gripes of cruel men and give it to a most noble judge, the king, my master.
This is the king's ring.
It is no counterfeit.
It is the right ring. By heaven, I told you all, when we first put this dangerous stone a-rolling, twould fall upon ourselves.
Do you think, my lords, the king would suffer but the little finger of this man to be vexed?
It is none too certain. How much more is his life in value with him? Would I were fairly out on't.
My mind gave me in seeking tales and informations against this man, whose honesty the devil and his disciples only envy at. Ye blew the fire that burns ye. Now, have at ye.
Dread sovereign!
How much are we bound to heaven in daily thanks that gave us such a prince? Not only good and wise, but most religious. One that in all obedience makes the church the chief aim of his honor. And to strengthen that holy duty out of dear respect, his royal self in judgment comes to hear the cause betwixt her and this great offender.
You were ever good at sudden commendations, Bishop of Winchester. But no, I come not to hear such flattery now. And in my presence they are too thin and bare to hide offences. To me you cannot reach. You play the spaniel and think with wagging of your tongue to win me. But whatsoever thou takest me for, I'm sure thou hast a cruel nature and a bloody. Good man, sit down. Now let me see the proudest he that dares most but wag his finger at thee. By all that's holy, he had better starve than but once think this place becomes thee not.
May it please your grace.
No, sir, it does not please me. I had thought I had had men of some understanding and wisdom of my counsel, but I find none. For the discretion, lords, to let this man, this good man, few of you deserve that title, this honest man, wait like a lousy footboy at chamber door. And one as great as you are? Why, what a shame was this. Did my commission bid ye so far forget yourselves? I gave ye power as he was a counselor to try him, not as a groom. But some of ye, I see, more out of malice than integrity, would try him to the utmost, had ye mean. Which ye shall never have while I live.
Thus far, my most dread sovereign, may it like your grace to let my tongue excuse all. What was purposed concerning his imprisonment was rather if there be faith in men, meant for his trial and fair purgation to the world, than malice, I'm sure, in me.
Well, well, my lords, respect him, take him, and use him well. He's worthy of it. I will say thus much for him. If a prince may be beholding to a subject, I am, for his love and service, so to him. Make me no more ado, but all embrace him. Be friends, for shame, my lords. Now, Lord of Canterbury, I have a suit which you must not deny me. That is a fair young maid that yet wants baptism. He must be godfather and answer for her.
The greatest monarch now alive may glory in such an honor. How may I deserve it, but I'm a poor and humble subject?
Now, come, my lord, you'd spare your spoons. You shall have two noble partners with you, the old Duchess of Norfolk and the Lady Marquess Dorset. Will these please you? Once more, my Lord of Winchester, I charge you, embrace and love this man.
With a true heart and brother love, I do it.
But let heaven witness how dear I hold this confirmation.
Good man, those joyful tears show thy true heart. The common voice I see is verified of thee, which says thus, do my Lord of Canterbury a shrewd turn, and he's your friend forever. Now, come, my lords, we trifle time away. I long to see this young one made a Christian. As I have made ye one, lords, one remain. So I grow stronger, you more honor gain.